What's up, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. I'm super stoked to have you with me. And holy fucking shit, what a day it was. What is going on? Today was like, for the stock market, some type of soap opera if it just dropped acid and chugged 16 Coors Light pounders and then you blindfolded it and just dropped it off in the Amazon rainforest somewhere and you just said, hey, just do the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, it was like one non sequitur after another. I couldn't wait to get home from the gym today to talk about it. Thank God I went to the gym. If I had recorded this prior to going to the gym, I would have blown a head gasket. It would have just been like, because when I got home, I got home today after seeing everything that had happened and staying on Twitter all day and just kind of following the events of the day. I don't know what would have happened if I had tried to do the podcast earlier. It would have been like, my head would have been like some type of submarine that's only supposed to be submerged 10,000 feet under the sea, except it's 15,000 feet under the sea, and all of a sudden, you start hearing little creaks, you know? Water starts dripping through the top little crack that some guy forgot to seal when he was putting the fucking thing together. And all the crew members start looking at each other. And nobody has to say anything. But everybody's thinking the same thing, which is, hey, we better pull this thing up a couple thousand feet. Because otherwise, we're going to implode. That's what my head would have felt like earlier if I had done this podcast before I went to the gym. Now I'm just in a good mood. Now I just feel like, I feel like I'm watching the whole thing on television. It's just, I kept thinking today, the case studies on this. And let's give Elon the benefit of the doubt and say that Tesla's going to be fine, right? This will still have been a fascinating experiment in human psychology and in the stock market. But in a case where the company does wind up going under, or let's say it underperforms significantly over the next year or two, this is going to make for a very fascinating Harvard case study, Harvard Business School case study, and I think some guy on CNBC said as much today. I went to watch the Bull Bear debate today on CNBC on Tesla, and it was basically two guys just like, the one guy was basically saying that it's a disaster, and the other guy was a little bit more measured. He was saying, you know, lightly scale out of your position. The other guy was like, it's a four-alarm shit show. He didn't say that, of course, but that's kind of what he was insinuating. Hey, this feels like a great time to remind you that this is not investment advice, and I'm not a financial advisor, and there's a two-drink minimum. We're going to be having a referendum soon as to whether or not to bump the two-drink minimum up to a three-drink minimum. That's another thing for down the road, and it's going to be like Brexit, too. We're going to have the vote. And then after, let's just say, for instance, everybody decides we want to move it up to a three-drink minimum, then there's going to be 3 years where we're going to have 15,000 other votes that we're going to have to take care of for the thing actually to happen. It's like, didn't we fucking vote? Not me, but didn't they vote on Brexit once? I mean, I remember the night. I was watching all these little counties reporting one at a time. You know, 300 votes yes, 200 votes no. They had the vote, right? I mean, did I miss something? The vote was for Brexit. But now, we're having all these. Every time I look up, there's another headline. Brexit vote may not happen until July 29th. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do we have the vote already? It's like all this administrative shit. Typical government bureaucracy. They want to get out of the European Union to get away from bureaucracy. It's like we got to have 15 other votes. It's like, it's no fucking wonder nothing gets done anywhere. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Every time you look up, so-and-so says they may not have the votes for Brexit. It's like, you guys voted on it already. What the hell is going on? Which is really what I asked myself several times today. Of course, this podcast is not about Brexit today. It's about the conduct of Elon Musk. Let's just give Elon the benefit of the doubt here. I don't want this podcast to be a, you know, I come on and all of a sudden just start talking shit. Because anybody can do that. It doesn't require any thought, really. But let's just give him, and actually, you know what? I got a call from a reporter today who was asking about his presence on social media, and they wanted a quote from me. And one of the things that I said to this person as I was speaking off the cuff was, I truly believe that Elon Musk thinks that there's a conspiracy against him. I truly do. I don't think that, I don't think he's just engineering all this shit because he's backed into a corner. I mean, I know some people think that he's kind of doing this as a distraction. I think it makes a statement about him that he thinks that this is actually happening. But regardless, I think that in his mind, what he's doing is well-intentioned. And I say that from a little bit of personal experience because I worked for an alternative energy company that was constantly under fire by short sellers who ultimately wound up being right, not about our technology, but right about the fact that the stock wasn't going to go up. And as I watched the stock get decimated and I watched critics of the company address their concerns, there were times when people that worked there, and myself included, genuinely thought that there was some boogeyman out to get us. I mean, this was really before I had a, you know, decent understanding of how the capital markets worked and how the way of the short world actually works. But there were times where I genuinely thought, like, shit, we're up against some massive, silent, you know, conspiratorial resistance. And I feel like many companies that have CEOs that don't really understand the capital markets too well or don't have experience investing or shorting stocks, or they don't know how to process it. It's like you look at all this shit with MiMedx, right? They were putting out posts all day, every day, basically calling the short sellers liars and this and that and attacking them personally, and there's a cabal and there's this and there's that. It's like, no, people just have an affinity for the truth. And whether or not these CEOs understand that the way that they're coming off is what's fueling the flames here, I think that's the case. And in Elon's case, like I said to this reporter today, if Elon Musk came out tomorrow and just stopped on social media, if he issued a statement tomorrow, if tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Elon Musk issued a statement and said, my conduct on social media has been, you know, out there. And I really need to start spending my time focusing on the business, right? Because if you're sitting around and you're tweeting about all the stupid shit that he was tweeting about today, like who was dancing with who in Las Vegas after the SALT conference, like anybody gives a fuck what club Lynette Lopez went to or what club Jim Chanos went to. Like they're all sitting around like, oh, you know, here's how it's going to go. 4 years from now, Tesla's going to be manufacturing cars in a tent and you're going to write an article about it. Like, give me a break, okay? Instead of doing that and mining old posts from Lynette Lopez's Facebook page, which I don't know if he was doing or one of his assistants was doing or somebody sent him. Instead of doing that, why don't you focus on the fact that you have a company to run? Actually, you have three of them. Probably four or five by now. I don't know. I can't keep track. Pick one. All right, buddy? Get off Twitter, pick one. Today I'm going to work on SpaceX. Great. What am I going to work on today? I don't know. Maybe I'll do some equations. Maybe I'll, you know, figure out a new spiffy color of rocket that I want to launch in outer space. Maybe I'll doodle a new SpaceX logo on the back of a notepad. Whatever. Just do that. Do something. Do anything else than being on social media. Because what's happening is, he's making a fool out of himself. And I really believe that I almost feel bad because I really believe that he is in his heart of hearts, he believes that there's a conspiracy. I think he believes that Lynette Lopez and Jim Chanos and me and Consumer Reports and The Economist and Reuters and CNBC are all in bed with Big Oil and the Koch brothers, who are paying us all off to talk shit. When the truth of the matter is, all we want to see is the company turn a profit. And all people like Reuters and Lynette Lopez are doing are reporting things that are being brought to them. So the editor-in-chief of Business Insider came out today and she said, listen, fuckhead, we haven't paid anybody for their testimony, for their sourcing, whatever. All this stupid shit he's posting. Do you have you been providing inside information to shareholders or to short sellers of the company that you've received from a tip from a whistleblower? It's like, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Your company has a $60 billion valuation. And if you're not sitting around for at least 20 or 30 hours a week trying to figure out a way that that company is going to be able to fill that $60 billion valuation with something, some type of equity, some type of cash flow, some type of production, instead of just filling it with the cream frosting that you get in Ringdings, which is basically what it's made of right now, then you're wasting your time. And I would go so far as to say that if you just sat around and played Xbox all day, instead of just going on social media, you don't even have to go into work. Just let Fremont do what they're doing. Let SpaceX do what they're doing. Just don't say anything. Because it's becoming a spectacle. And I'm conflicted about how I feel about it. Because the easy thing to do is to just come on right now and just unload on Elon Musk. And just say, look, man, I mean, this is awful. I mean, the fucking wheels look like they're coming off, which is kind of true. But I truly believe that in his heart of hearts, he believes there's some conspiracy here. And Elon, if you're listening, there's no conspiracy. Get to work. Get to work. I mean, the fact that I'm even entertaining giving you advice instead of just reveling in what's going on is fascinating. I think I have some like subconscious, where I feel bad because it's just, you're just inviting people to pile on. I don't really know how else to put it. Aside from misallocating your time, I mean, if you think that this is productive what you're doing, then it isn't. But by the way, where's the board of directors? Where's the board of directors? This isn't my job to come on this podcast, which, by the way, nobody listens to anyways. It's not my job to come on here and be like, Elon, so what the fuck are you doing? It's the job of the board of directors. Where's Kimball Musk? Last seen in a cowboy hat somewhere. Can he ride his horse on into Tesla headquarters and maybe have a little chat with Elon? Meanwhile, Elon is retweeting these Clean Technica stories. A sinister seller of the Tesla short story. Business Insider resorts to FUD as Tesla streamlines Model 3 general assembly. It's like they're not resorting to FUD. They're resorting to the truth. I mean, I think in this dude's heart of hearts, he believes that short sellers are the reason the stock goes down. And I was thinking today, I'm not even convinced that Elon even understands how valuation works. I mean, does he know that the company is being valued by the market at $55 billion right now or whatever it is? That has to eventually come from somewhere. That $55 billion is going to have to, one of two things has to happen. Something has to happen at Tesla that is going to convince people that the future value of the company is going to be worth $55 billion, whether it's from a stream of cash that they can generate, or whether it's from somehow building equity, or whether it is from launching into a different industry, or whether it is prospects for growth in other countries. There has to be some type of story that would convince analysts, the public, anybody that understands a little bit about equity valuation, that this $55 billion valuation is going to have to be supported by something. You know, Ross Gerber comes on and says, well, I think the market cap's going to go to $100 billion. Why? Why? They're not making money. They're not making money. Literally, if I take the day off from work tomorrow and I sit around and do nothing, I just sit on my ass. I wake up and I sit on my ass in bed and I do that for 8 hours, my P&L for the day is going to look better than Tesla's. Yet Tesla's valued at $55 billion and I'm valued at $1.280. So how does that make any sense? Or if he can't figure out a way to get the company to somehow be worth this $55 billion, the market price is going to have to adjust. And as the confidence starts to wear thin that maybe the company isn't going to be worth $55 billion somehow because they haven't proven that they can be profitable consistently, or they haven't proven that the CEO is able to control himself, which doesn't look like he is, but who knows? Maybe he'll come around. Then the price is going to have to adjust to reach whatever consensus valuation the market puts on the company. Short sellers think zero is a good number. I think maybe $5 billion, $10 billion. If the stock went down 90%, I would consider saying, okay, maybe there's a long case just based on brand equity. But this is crazy because on the way up, right, from 17 to 360, it's like all fun and games, right? Everybody's having a laugh and Elon's getting good press. Everybody's happy. He goes out, he buys Solar City. Everything's great, right? But you can't expect that to just go on forever. The market is not going to give you unlimited leeway to just go and do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, it's given you some leeway so far, but that's not an unlimited roadway in terms of leeway. At some point, I mean, God help us if the market turns, right? What happens if we slip into a bear market? What happens if this turns from a market that's based on, you know, just fucking throwing a dart at anything with a top line that's growing to value investing again? What would happen? This stock would get clipped 80% in a month. So let's just get out there that the market environment has been perfect for them. And there are so many things that could lead this valuation to get smaller versus getting larger. I mean, if you're Elon Musk, how do you actually make the argument that you want the market to assign you a valuation that's more than $55 billion? What do you want us to base that on? What do you want the market to base that on? And this is what retail investors don't understand. Like, yes, the story is great, right? Electric vehicles, saving the environment. It's a good story. It's a feel-good story. We know Elon Musk is smart. I've said it on this podcast before. He's 100 times smarter than I'll ever be. But at the end of the day, when you're making an investment, you're investing money. And you're paying a certain amount per share because in the future, you expect the company to earn that much per share or usually more. So where are those earnings going to come from? Where's the return going to be on an investment? You can't get it and just feel good. You don't get a return on your investment just for doing the right thing. Trust me. Look at Herbalife. I got smoked on the Herbalife trade. Do I think the company's a pyramid scheme? Fuck yeah, I do. Did the FTC seem to think the same thing? Fuck yeah, they did. Does it matter? Apparently not, because the company spouts off a ton of cash. Tesla's the opposite. They got a great story. We're saving the world. Let's not talk about the fact that still a good portion of our power that comes to charge these electric vehicles comes from coal. I'm talking about clean coal, folks. Okay, clean, tremendous clean coal. Meaning we're going to take the coal, okay? We're going to fucking clean it, and that's clean coal. But really, the truth is, a lot of it still does come from coal. But let's just forget that. This story is a good story. We're going to save the world. But the financials aren't there. And the stock has already overextended itself. Some would argue by $100. Some would argue by $200. Some would argue by $300. So how do you put a price on nothing? It's really whether or not you're going to have blind faith in the company going forward. So when Elon gets mad when the stock goes lower, see, this is the mystifying thing. This guy said last week when he posted that video, who likes short shorts? Very clever, by the way. Shouldn't you be doing something? Shouldn't you be doing something else besides putting shit like that up on Twitter? I mean, look, I'm a loser, okay? I don't have a life. I'm allowed to sit around on Twitter all day. I'm not the CEO of a public company. If I was, I wouldn't be sitting around on Twitter all day. You are CEO or managing director or on the board of like 15 companies, one of which has been under heavy fire lately. And you're sitting around tweeting, who likes short shorts? I made a joke, guys. Get it? Because we're going to hit our goal. And the shorts are going to be feeling the burn. I don't think Elon understands the mechanics of the market. If he is honestly thinking that just because I hit this arbitrary 5,000 Model 3 per week number, regardless of how I do it, that the shorts are going to burn. Burn, shorty. Burn. Burn, shorty. If he thinks that's going to happen, what is he basing it on monetarily? If he's saying, okay, the stock's going to squeeze to $450 a share because I'm going to hit this goal, does he understand in his genius brain that that means the market would have to value his company at $70 billion or whatever it is, $75 billion, and that there's nothing tangibly in terms of money or cash flow that is furthering a case to tack on another $20 billion in market cap? Does he understand that that's how it works? Or does he think your stock price is just like the score, you know, in like a fucking Boston Celtics game? We had 60, now we're at 80, now we're at 100. We're doing better than we were at 60. That's not how it works. Your price times your shares assigns your company a market cap. When you come on Twitter and promise that there's going to be a short squeeze, the likes of which nobody's ever seen before, do you understand that your company is already valued at $60 billion and has produced pretty much nothing in the realm of cash flow or profitability on any type of consistent basis? You have already been given a $60 billion head start. Instead of rooting for a short squeeze now and doing all of this fuckery to try and engineer a squeeze, like buying stock and, you know, making jokes at short sellers and alleging there's some grand conspiracy, instead of doing all that, why don't you take half that brain power that you're using to try and figure out whether or not Lynette Lopez had a fucking bologna sandwich for lunch today, and start putting some of that energy towards figuring out, how am I going to find a tangible way to fill out the $60 billion valuation that my company has? And dedicate another portion of your brain to trying to come to terms with the fact that if the stock price goes lower, it's far more likely a result of the market realizing that maybe your company should be valued at a lower price versus short sellers forcing people out of their positions and naked shorting and whatever other bullshit these guys are alleging. The market assigns a value to your company. That's the market telling you what it thinks your company's worth. Now, if I was the CEO of Tesla and I had a $60 billion valuation, I would be very happy. The last thing I would be worried about are little 20, 50, even 100 point moves. I'd love to watch the stock go down to 200 if I was the CEO right now. Because I'd think, wow, okay, valuation got a little crazy. It's pulled in now. Maybe if I can actually execute on some goals and start to show some calculated and tangible progress towards profitability, now maybe I have a little bit of room for the stock to come up again. You know, it's like, if you look at Longfin, one of the things that, you know, and I know the CEO, he's a funny guy, he's a goofball, he's you know, Longfin is way overvalued. It's probably a scam. It got delisted, whatever. But the one thing I give that guy credit for when he did his appearance with Melissa Lee, who, by the way, watching her try to take down somebody was hilarious. But the one thing I give this guy credit for was he was continually saying the market is overvaluing our company. You know, we're not worth $3 billion, you know, or whatever he was saying. He knows. He knew, at least, that the valuation on the company was ridiculous. Elon seems to think that the valuation should just continue to go higher and there's no real impasse that they're going to hit. Money should come out of nowhere for no reason at all and continue to push the valuation of the company higher. Tesla should be at 400, 500. This woman was out the other day. Tesla's going to 4,000. It is? It is? Tesla's going to be a $550 billion company? Can somebody explain that? I mean, to her credit, I don't think anybody would ever thought it would have become a $60 billion company with no real tangible profitability. I mean, 3 years ago, people thought the company was going to be making $15 in EPS this year or something ridiculous. So I guess it's a miracle. And you could say, hey, if $55 billion, why not $550 billion? But what just makes people think, like Trip Chowdhury and all these bulls, what makes them think that they're just owed another $25 billion worth of valuation? I mean, aside from the fact that the stock market is pretty much a joke to begin with and is heavily manipulated by central banks and the government, so you really shouldn't have faith in anything, and I've argued before, the numbers shouldn't really even matter, you know, it's almost like there's so many variables that the government and the Federal Reserve are fucking with that I can't believe the market has any semblance of sanity left in it at all. But putting that aside, what makes you think you're just owed another $25 billion in valuation? I mean, the crazy thing is nobody knows really when this is going to stop. Like Einhorn said, you know, bubbles used to pop, or every bubble pops, at least they used to or whatever. And Einhorn caught a lot of bad press over the last couple of days because he's doing poorly this year or whatever. But Einhorn is a value investor, and this market is insane. It doesn't give a fuck about cash flow. It doesn't give a fuck about profitability. It really doesn't. And that's why Einhorn has done poorly, because on the long side, he's continued to look for deep value, and on the short side, he's continued to look for bubbles that are insane, and he's probably identified fantastic candidates on both sides. And this market, fueled by this, you know, cheap debt crack binge that it's been on for the last 10 years, is just putting money into anything. But like I said today about Einhorn, and I'll say about Tesla right now, is reversion to the mean should always happen. Either on a very small scale, you know, we'll have a short-term kind of cyclical pullback and some sense will come back to the market, or the Fed will just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, QE 4, 5, 6, whatever, until you have a longer-term and much bigger cyclical problem, such as a currency crisis or something of that nature. Regardless, because we have these variables that we're manipulating, something will have to give. Tesla will get its due someday. Judgment Day will come for them. Will it be this year, next year, 10 years, 5 years? Who knows? But the way that Elon has been acting certainly makes it look as though he feels stressed and he feels backed into a corner. And what would you be thinking if you were jovial and joking about short sellers and promising the short burn of the century? Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that. You can't come out and say things like that as a public company CEO. But that aside, let's put that angle aside. If you come out and say all that shit last week and then you, you know, pull everything together to hit this 5,000 Model 3 per week target once, and all of a sudden your stock, which opens at 362, is sitting at 310 48 hours later. I mean, he's got to feel like he just got gut punched. And the interesting thing about this is it's showing that the market is starting to look a little bit underneath the surface here, right? Reuters put out an article that said, look, they met the goal, but Elon was on the line and he was barking to people and people are being overworked. They're working 6 days a week. They're working 12-hour shifts. Employees are concerned that injuries are going to be on the rise as a result of the working conditions. And they took people off the Model S line and the Model X line, and they put them towards reaching the Model 3 goal. The point is not to just hit this number to hit it. The point is to be able to hit the number consistently and continue to run the whole business at the same time. What good is it if you crank out 5,000 Model 3s over the course of a week when by doing that you grind the rest of your company to a halt and you exhaust your workers and you fuck up the works in the paint shop and on the Model S line and the Model X line? I mean, Elon would be much better served tomorrow to just come out and say, look, I'm putting my fist down. I've been out of control on social media. I have to focus on running the business. The results are going to suck for the next year. I'm going to shut the fuck up for a little while. We have to revamp everything, and we have to start small, and we have to focus on growing out our production organically in a way that we're going to be able to balance Model S, Model X, Model Y, CapEx for the future, and the Model 3, and we're going to focus on all these little things. And look, the truth of the matter is we're only going to be able to produce 500 cars a week while we're doing this, but we're hopeful that over the course of the long term, this major shift in strategy on both the public relations front and on the operational front is going to serve us better. You know what would happen? The stock would probably get cut in half, okay? The valuation would probably get cut to, you know, $27 billion or $25 billion, which is still a serious valuation. And that would be it. The worst would be over. And then Elon could say, all right, let's just stop what we're doing, all right? And let's just focus on how we can safely and efficiently produce vehicles that are meeting quality standards, that are not being rushed, we're not exhausting our workers. And look, you just come out and you say some of the projections we've made have been way too aggressive, including our projection that we're not going to need capital. And you go out and you level with the market, and then you raise $3 or $4 or $5 billion. And you say, look, we're not going to start any new models until we can get the models we've already promised delivered because we've made a promise. And you just, you know, you reel it all in. Just reel it all in and say, look, you know, this is my first time being the public company CEO of an automobile manufacturer. And I thought we could do a lot of things that it turns out we couldn't do. But I'm committed to living up to our vision of being an electric vehicle company and eventually an energy company. But we got a lot of shit we got to sort out. And we're going to take it slow and we're going to take it, you know, in calculated fashion. And I'm going to bring in a chief operating officer who has experience working with Ford or General Motors. And we're going to turn this into a car company, but it's going to take a little while. And if he would just come out and level with the market like that tomorrow, and he would lay off social media and just relax, he would have access to capital. He would probably cool off a lot of the regulatory attention on the company, if there is any. And he would validate shorts for a week or 2 weeks. Shorts would cover probably some of them. And then it would just be business as usual. The crazy thing about being a public company CEO is you can't be scared of the truth. You know, disclosure works in both ways. Sometimes shit goes great and sometimes shit goes terrible. And you can't be afraid to disclose the bad with the good. That's just how it is. And yes, the market will react. But that's it. Then you wake up the next morning, you go to work, knowing that you've told the truth and knowing that you've set expectations lower. But if you keep trying to defend everything that you've said at all costs, and your goal remains to meet these crazy goals that you've set that people have rightfully called you out on because they think that they're going to be really difficult to accomplish, but your goal remains committed to them, and instead of focusing on the business, you're spending all this time lashing out at all of the people who are noticing that you're kind of backed into a corner and you're kind of fighting like a caged animal here, all you're doing is fueling their flame. I mean, if you're Musk, just come out tomorrow and say it. Look, we built a fucking tent. Isn't that funny? That's what I would say. I swear to God, if I was the CEO of Tesla tomorrow, this is what I would say. I would host a conference call and I would be like, look, I've been saying for a long time that we were going to be able to create a production facility that is going to be the best in the automobile industry and the most automated. And I joked about it a little bit. I called it the Alien Dreadnought. I had a vision that I thought was possible to produce vehicles at a much more efficient rate. You know, as it's been reported and as you know, a lot of the conveyors and shit that we installed had to be ripped out. We had to replace that with some manual labor. And it turns out I was mistaken in some of the assumptions I had made, which led to the building of this tent and the replacing of some of the automation with humans. And some money that we spent to fly in a bunch of shit from Germany that maybe we shouldn't have spent money on. I got a little bit ahead of myself. That's what I would say. I would say, you know, my vision was far more difficult to implement than I thought it would be. And what I'm committed to now is looking at best practices in the industry to make sure that we can kind of start from there, create a healthy and safe work environment, and one that's going to be efficient where we're not spreading ourselves so thin that we got half the shit outside in the tent and half the shit inside. And we're just going to kind of start over from scratch and we're going to revamp things. But if you keep trying to put Band-Aids on things over and over and over again and you're sticking to all the stuff that you said in the past, eventually you're going to get to a breaking point. And that's what's going on here. He's spreading himself too thin. He has to just reset expectations with the market. But now it's like, now when once you start fucking with your own credibility and you lose the confidence, which looks to be happening here, that's going to make it even far more difficult to raise capital, to get the attention of analysts and investment banks and whatever. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And like I said, you'd be far better served to just come out and tell the truth. Just level with the market tomorrow. I mean, look, everybody knows that everything is just completely, you know, you're basically running the company from the seat of your pants. I mean, everybody kind of sees that. You know, maybe there's some quality control stuff that you skipped over, some tests that you would have done or wouldn't have done or whatever. You know, you look, you got into a mad dash. You thought that the 5,000 figure was going to vindicate you. Immediately after you got there, you put a bunch of people on break, I guess for the holiday. But just come out and level with the market, dude. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the truth. Sometimes it sucks being a public company CEO. And sometimes it's great. The last 5 years have been fucking great for you. You watched your stock go from 17 to 360. You've got this insane valuation on your company. The market has provided you with a ton of capital and a ton of time and debt and equity financing. And you've gotten all this great press. Now it's time to buckle down and do the difficult part that most CEOs do on a daily basis, which is hunker down and focus on the execution, focus on the numbers. I did a podcast like a couple weeks ago that was called Elon Musk's Joyride at Tesla is Over. And that was the whole point. The point was like, now the market is focused on the fundamentals. It's focused on the financials. It's focused on the story behind the story, which is why when you hit 5,000 cars, people didn't go, and fucking go out and just bid the stock up to 450, because maybe, just maybe, people are starting to pay attention to the company's valuation and the fact that, you know, you created all of these bottlenecks elsewhere in the company by putting all hands on deck forward to get the Model 3 number to 5,000. And instead of addressing that, you're talking shit about Jim Chanos and Lynette Lopez and CNBC and Reuters. It's everybody's fault. It's the Economist's fault. It's Consumer Reports' fault. It's the short seller's fault. It's Lynette Lopez's fault. It's Charlie Grant's fault. It's CNBC's fault. It's Bloomberg's fault. I got a question, Bubsky. When the fuck does it become Elon Musk's fault? That's what I want to know. With that, I am out of here. Peace.